The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Mike Peterson of KMA Radio in Shenandoah and Rick Patrie of the Eldora Herald-Ledger. The first question will come from KMA's Mike.
Thank you very much. Senator, there are concerns about the nation's intelligence networks in the wake of last week's attacks in San Bernardino. How much do you think lapses in intelligence led to the shootings, and what can be done to strengthen the nation's intelligence or surveillance networks in the aftermath?
Well, if you listen to the FBI director yesterday, the encryption of messages between people in this country and ISIS people, and between them in this country, you'd find that it's very difficult to follow an encrypted message. I suppose they might have some ways of doing it, but in a very ad hoc and probably differential way doing it. It's not like just getting a wiretap and listening to people's phones anymore. It's very difficult now since we passed the bill in June, you know, that did away with the metadata. Now, the first part of your question is a little more difficult because the investigation is still going on. But almost every day, something comes out showing that the communications with people that are connected with radical Islamic terrorist activity, that there was increasing communication. Now, that doesn't mean that the final decision to kill 14 people was directed from outside the country, but the communications enhanced the radicalization that could have taken place on its own. Rick?
Yeah. Senator, everything you read about the price of oil down and probably going to stay down for a while, is it making the sale on the renewable fuels project a little tougher? And in any case, what's the recourse now to sort of push the EPA the renewable fuels use levels?
Well, I wish I had good news for you on that point. First of all, I don't think the price of petroleum has much to do with it. I think it's within EPA and big oil's influence within EPA that have reduced the amount that the law says you have to use, reduced by EPA. I think, quite frankly, they're violating the law. And Congress could change that law. So take away any doubt about whether they could change, had discretion to lower the amount. We do think they have the discretion to raise the amount. But we could change the law. We could put a rider in an appropriation bill that would say such and such that this can't go into effect or money spent on it to put it into effect. But right now it looks like the only alternative, because we can't do those things within Congress, is going to be a suit probably filed by the ethanol industry and or corn. I'm not sure just exactly who will file the lawsuit. But hopefully we get the same judgment from the Supreme Court we got on the EPA last week of June, I guess it was, that said that what they had done on one chemical they wanted to reduce the use of, that they had acted in an unconstitutional, illegal way.
Senator, along those lines, the RFS standard that was released last week was a big disappointment to many in the ethanol industry. What kind of a impact do you think will have on ethanol plants we have operating in this state, including some locally here in southwest Iowa?
Well, I think the impact's going to come in the next generation of ethanol, cellulosic ethanol, like they're doing in Nevada. You read about that plant opening. Previously wanted opened up in Emmitsburg right alongside of other ethanol production from grain. And if you're going to go to cellulosic ethanol, which you have to above the 15 billion gallons that is the limit allowed under present law from grain, then you're going to have E15 instead of E10. And you can't have E15 if you don't have the filling stations equipped to dispense it, And quite frankly, that big oil doesn't want E15. And so that's part of their motivation. But when EPA acts as they just did, and this is the bottom line answer to your question, it's going to make it very difficult to raise the capital that it takes to put in these extra pumps or convert pumps that it takes to get E15. Rick?
Yeah, Senator, in another kind of farm-related thing, I read that there was sort of a scare here in the last few weeks as to whether there'd be enough funding to cover the crop insurance portion of the new farm bill. And evidently that's been taken care of. But in general, do you have any concerns about the implementation of the bill up to this point?
Not yet. And I've held town meetings, many town meetings, since the bill was passed earlier this year. I haven't heard anything at my town meetings. I visit with my ag legislative assistant on a very regular basis. We haven't had much coming in there. In fact, maybe nothing coming in about the administration of the bill. And the crop insurance is the number one safety net for farmers, and it will be the $3 billion that was going to be taken out of it isn't taken out of it. So whatever we planned in this bill will move forward now. Mike?
In addition to the money for the crop insurance coverage that was previously excluded from the budget deal that was reached this fall, what else is in there in that federal transportation bill that will benefit Iowans, especially in the terms of infrastructure improvements?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to try to answer your question, but the short answer to your question is you need to call up the State Department of Transportation and ask them how they're going to use the money. Then that'll tell you how it's going to benefit Iowa. Now, let me back up and give you a little history so you'll know why I had to give you the answer I just gave you. And that is, prior to 2010, we used to have earmarks and bills. So we would actually, I'll just give you one example, but there were dozens of these examples for Iowa in a lot of transportation bills. We'll say we're going to spend $10 million on the highway between, four-lane highway between Fort Dodge and Sioux City. Then there was all kinds of those in previous transportation bills. Those were called earmarks. Earmarks were done away with in 2010 because the people in this country got fed up with Congress doing things like a bridge to nowhere. You remember the famous Alaska Bridge. The bad publicity of that waste of money was the impetus for doing away with earmarks. So now what we do, and then I'll stop with this, we give the money under a formula to the 50 states, and they decide where it's going to be spent. Now, this doesn't deal with a specific project you might want me to mention, but the biggest thing about this bill might not be those specific projects, but it's the opportunity to do something long-term. Because let me explain that to you. 2005, we passed the six-year highway bill. Then in 2011, it sunset. Then what we did 37 times since then was give short-term extensions. And states didn't know what they're going to be able to do next month. Sometimes they didn't know what they were going to do the next 6 weeks, let's say. Or they couldn't look ahead years. So this is a five-year highway bill. So the money that Iowa gets next year, they know they're going to get the same amount for the next 4 years after that. They can make long-range planning. Say, Rick, you're the last one again. Can you give me a short question for a short answer?
Well, just a short question. Are you getting any kind of constituent response in regard to some of the statements that have been made recently, mostly by Mr. Trump, in regard to blocking immigration of Muslim?
Yeah.
Muslim.
Absolute overwhelming in support of Trump. not so much on the other side. And that's kind of the answer to your question, I guess. Yeah. Thank you, Mike and Rick, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.